This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, a new effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. It's been a long time since I've been this excited about a new natural medical innovation. Zona Plus is the real deal. It's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. To find out more, go to tryzona.com or call toll-free 1-888-408-6141. That's 1-888-408-6141 or tryzona.com.
Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. It's our weekly Q&A with Layla, our first Q&A with Layla of 2017.
Wow.
Keep saying it, 2017, 2017.
It's going to take me till March to start
writing. I'm
going to
be writing my checks 2016. Yes. It always happens. You know, I just can't get used to it. But, you know, The years just keep flying by.
They are.
So, all right, here we are with more questions.
Yes.
By the way, questions can be sent to radioprogram@aol.com. And we have another way of getting questions to us. If you want to take a shot at this, go to our website. Go to the homepage of drhoffman.com. And on the right of the homepage, there's a black rectangle, kind of like the obelisk
like
in 2001. It's a bar, appropriately said. But it's like I call it like the obelisk in 2001, A Space Odyssey. You know, it's just there.
Uh-huh.
And nobody knows why it's there. It suddenly appeared. And so, you know, the apes are gathering around, looking at it, and wondering at it, and what's it all about. And if you click on it, It prompts you to record a question. And we take those questions, and we curate them, and then we use those questions as fodder on our weekly radio program. So it's a way of indirectly communicating with me if you don't want to call during the radio program. Of course, you can call 888-302-3684 during the show and talk to me directly. I'm happy to talk to you from noon to 2 p.m. on a Saturday. That's Eastern time. But these questions come to us via, via email.
Yes. All right. We've got actually a comment from Charlie who says, comments about fish oil with regard to surgery seem to contradict the latest research regarding surgery and fish oil. Charlie doesn't make clear for us what he's talking
about.
What
is the latest research that Charlie is talking about? Is the latest research exonerating fish oil before surgery, or is the latest research that he's referring to, which is most of the recommendations are, stop fish oil before surgery? Because fish oil may thin the blood.
Yes.
And
that's
so
a general recommendation that we give
general
anyway.
Recommendation. However, there are some instances where it's actually thought that fish oil on board, anyway, maybe not just the day before surgery or even the week before surgery, but having fish oil on board reduces one of the problems that occurs with any kind of injury. And surgery is deliberate injury, which is inflammation. And so this is not new. This is actually old. It's one of the surgical recovery formulas that's used to increase the survival rate of surgery patients who, you know, many of them are sick and old and have depleted immune systems, is to use a product called IMPACT. IMPACT is three main things. It's got arginine in it, and the research on arginine in surgery dates back to when I was in med school, and it comes from my med school, Albert Einstein College of Medicine, and it seems that arginine may boost immunity and maybe enhance circulation, because arginine is part of the nitric oxide pathway. It also contains something unusual, RNA. And what RNA is something that may help provide building blocks to DNA replication, which may help with healing. You know, purines may be part of that equation. There's some research on that.
Interesting.
And the third component is omega-3 fish oil. And because of the ability of fish oil to tamp down inflammation, which is a feature of surgical recovery.
Yeah.
So I think a rule of thumb is, just in case your blood might be too thinned, don't take fish oil right before surgery.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, what do we say? Well, a week or 10 days?
A week, 10 days.
Because it takes a while for it to kind of drop to lower levels.
Exactly.
And then you may resume as soon as the wound heals, as soon as there's no more bleeding at the bleeding site of the, you know, these days surgery is very often keyhole surgery, you know, very tiny incisions.
Laparoscopic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a much less in the way of bleeding risk.
Mm-hmm. Other supplements that you may be taking that can thin your blood also are flax oil, ginkgo, high amounts of vitamin E, aspirin therapy.
Ginger. Ginkgo, we said, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we would watch those as well. So, okay.
So I don't know what, you know, what we're contradicting.
Yeah, but that's what we know, Charlie.
But by the way, we know that recommendations and the latest research are not synonymous. Mm. So in other words, you look at like a sheet that your anesthesiologist or surgeon hands you before surgery, and it says, don't take this.
Yeah.
It may not reflect the latest research,
right,
which may take forever or never be incorporated in these highly conservative recommendations,
right,
which is basically, don't take anything, you know, just in case. We don't know what kind of cockamamie stuff you may be taking, so stop taking your supplements.
Just stop taking everything. And unfortunately, the reason is they don't know.
And you need zinc, you need C,
magnesium.
Where bones are involved, you need D, you need magnesium is extremely important.
Yeah. Okay, Charlie, there you go. We've got an email from Marnie. Marnie is 62 years old, 5'3", 170 pounds on a good day.
Wasn't it an Alfred Hitchcock movie, Marnie, I think?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. Eats pretty well, no gluten, lowish carbs. Hello, Dr. Hoffman and Layla. I recently heard Dr. Hoffman talk about people who have to get up at night and walk around to relieve leg pain. Mm. I had no idea this was a syndrome and that I had it. I've asked doctor after doctor about my symptoms, and no one had any idea what I was talking about. Now that I know what it is, I've been able to read up on it. Apparently, it's part of a three-part syndrome, which includes leg pain, cramps, and migraines. I have all three.
Wow, okay.
I've read that experts seem to think that this has something to do with dopamine levels in the brain.
Very nice, yes.
My question is, what can one do nutritionally to increase dopamine levels and ultimately get rid of this syndrome?
Yep.
Very eloquent, Marnie. Thank you.
Yes. In fact, this is, by analogy, the medications used to treat this are Parkinson's medications.
Oh.
You know, L-DOPA, carbidopa, and other medications that boost dopamine, like Requip.
Right.
Requip is an example of
because Parkinson's is a condition of like no dopamine.
Right. Substantia nigra doesn't produce dopamine anymore. Mm-hmm. So now, nutritionally, how can you enhance dopamine?
Tyrosine.
L-tyrosine.
Yeah.
Also, there's a you can use an extract of a long bean that is, we got to look it up, that is something that may boost dopamine levels.
And dopamine is the reward neurotransmitter.
And you also want to use B6, but some of these medications can be interfered with high doses of B6.
Okay.
If you're on medication, maybe you don't want to take high-dose B6, but you can take B6 because it's part of the pathway towards dopamine production.
Mm-hmm. My impression is Marnie is not somebody who's suffering with Parkinson's at all.
No, it's it's a different pathway causes symptoms of rigidity and spasm. You know, I will say this is that this is a patient who is a candidate for some type of medical marijuana, and I'm not talking about smoking a joint. I'm talking about properly applied medical marijuana, which has a relaxing effect without getting you stoned.
Mm-hmm.
But something like a CBD with a little THC combination, which is unfortunately CBD was just sort of it was reiterated that it's a Schedule I drug. And it's the feds believe in enforcing drug laws against all marijuana derivatives, even CBD, which is the non-hallucinogenic thing, which I think is stupid and retrograde. And I hope that it changes, in the next few years. I really am not about legalizing marijuana so that little kids are smoking it in the playgrounds. But I do think medical marijuana has great potential for people with these types of disorders.
Sure. As a nutritionist, when I look at leg pain, cramps, migraines, the first thing I think of
is magnesium. Yeah.
Right.
And I would think that magnesium might be beneficial in any case.
And maybe some tyrosine, maybe earlier in the day, can help amp up dopamine or something.
Because tyrosine is an amino acid building block for dopamine production.
Yeah. and an adequate diet, which she appears to be on. Mm-hmm. So, try some magnesium first, Marnie.
Yeah.
See what that does for you.
There's a nice, I've been test driving a new magnesium, which is made by Orthomolecular, and it's a magnesium powder. I don't know the name of it, but it's great because my first apprehension in taking them, I tried it during the holidays because I figured like, I don't have to be anywhere, you know, or drive anywhere or, you know, be at the office or anything. And, you know, magnesium has a laxative effect. So I didn't want to like have any funny stuff going on. I tried it and it absolutely didn't do that.
Oh, and it was delicious.
Uh-huh. And I took some before workouts and I was feeling a little, I don't know, a little lethargic, you know, with the cold, dark days and, you know.
And the sun refusing to come up until after 7 a.m. in the morning.
And the magnesium.
For some reason.
Magnesium, I think, sort of lit up my metabolism.
Wow.
Because, and it comes as a scoop and it's a fairly large amount of mostly magnesium glycinate. And they managed to flavor it in a non-sugary way such that it's very easy to assimilate. So instead of rattling around with lots and lots of magnesium pills, maybe you could take a scoop of that once or twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I think we're going to stock that product.
That's great. And the glycinate form of magnesium is particularly good for muscle pain, leg cramp type of stuff.
Okay.
Rather than a magnesium citrate, which is more for constipation.
Yeah, don't want to use
magnesium taurate, which is more for heart and blood pressure.
Yeah.
Or anything like that.
Or the protosorb magnesium, which is magnesium 3-8, which is more for brain.
Yes.
And we use that for patients who have anxiety, or panic attacks.
Don't sleep well.
Yeah.
People even with insomnia.
Relaxing effects, yes.
Yeah.
The 3-8 has the potential to, they say, to cross the blood-brain barrier more effectively. So we have a variety of magnesium tools at our disposal. And then if all else fails, we give people the Myers cocktail, which is intravenous magnesium, which can be, for some people with spasm and restless leg, can be very helpful. And by the way, here's another thing, very important, very important. You got all these sleep symptoms, which have, you know, something vaguely the flavor of restless leg syndrome. Check your iron, because iron also has to do with dopamine metabolism, and people may not be even anemic, but they have low, relatively low normal levels of iron. They need to replete their iron to get relief from restless leg syndrome.
Yeah. Marnie, a good way to tell, and again, as Dr. Hoffman said, you don't have to be overtly anemic. Check your ferritin levels.
Exactly.
Your storage form of iron. You definitely want it around 70-ish.
Although she's postmenopausal, it's a little less likely that a postmenopausal woman's going to be iron deficient.
Probably.
But, you know, we could see.
Yeah. Depends on her diet, too, and her absorption. Marnie, best of luck to you.
Yeah, it's a really uncomfortable problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And here's the problem, too, is, okay, let's say you take the drug.
Yeah.
Drugs.
Restless legs drug, right?
Yeah,
that can also cause you to go to Atlantic City and gamble your...
Bang!
We had a patient like that.
We did. We had a patient once who did... She had something akin to this, and she took Requip, which is a popular drug for this type of thing.
Uh-huh.
And she said, I lost $175,000. I said, well, wait, explain that. She said, It changed my personality. Mm-hmm. I never had this problem before. I became a compulsive gambler. And I said, what'd you do? You went to Las Vegas or Atlantic City? She says, no, I did the scratch-off game.
Oh.
I said, how many of those little scratch-offs do you have to do to lose $175,000? She says, I did it incessantly. And she says, ultimately, I had to sue the drug manufacturer, and they settled immediately with me. And the reason is that it's a write-off for them. They figure that it's a rare complication.
Yeah.
But it's a recognized complication, and they're going to lose in court. So they just said, here's your money.
This is a true story, folks. I remember seeing the ads for Requip on TV. May cause uninhibited gambling.
It could turn like a prudent
some kind of addiction.
Prudent gray-haired church lady. Into a
nymphomaniac.
Into a nymphomaniac is to embark on multiple sexual escapades.
Yeah.
Which sounds good to some people, but that's a devastating side effect.
Yeah. My. Imagine.
Dopamine is a powerful neurotransmitter.
It is.
And when you amp it up too much, it's the neurotransmitter of reward.
Mm-hmm.
And
you want more.
And when you have too little, Yeah. It's you feel like flat and kind of depressed, and you have a, you know, like in Parkinson's, you have sort of an expressionless face and you mm-hmm. shuffle. When you have too much, you become like addicted. It's also the substance of addiction.
Right, right.
You become sort of a dopamine junkie.
Mm-hmm. So more is not better. Wow.
It may be that the people who have those, you know, the people who jump up mountains with those bat wings,
yeah,
they may have a dopamine thing going on.
Right,
you know.
Right. Those professional. Some,
it's like a genetic thing where they're just.
Fly.
I mean, I just don't. To me, I don't understand that. But there's some people who have a need to stoke their dopamine,
or need to live on the edge,
yeah,
or to take a lot of risks,
yeah,
more than. You should. So, wow. Marnie, we hope this helped you out.
but you can try the medication. I'm not
You can try safe. Don't try the
right.
I would
right.
say don't try the medication. All right. We've got an email from Marianne. Thank you for your selfless teaching. You've made such a difference in my life and my husband's. And I'm sure I speak for all of your grateful listeners. Blessings to you both. Thank you, Marianne.
That's very gratifying.
Yeah.
Nice to hear.
Marianne writes, over the years, you've always advised ubiquinol for the patients and listeners who need to be on a statin. Since statins interfere with CoQ10, should the ubiquinol be taken with a statin to mitigate this or apart from it?
I don't know that that's really been studied.
Yeah.
And I think that it's probably okay to take it any time in the course of the day.
Right. Most people take their statins at night, don't they? Or is that confusing that with aspirin?
I don't know. Yeah,
right.
I don't think there's a specific time to take it.
Mm-hmm. Take the ubiquinol or the CoQ10. I would also recommend
one thing about it, mm-hmm. it's a fat soluble nutrient. So mm-hmm. it kind of builds up in your system and stays in your system. It's not like, unlike vitamin C, which you may have, if you want to keep your vitamin C levels up, you need to take it like three, four times a day.
And the B vitamins,
A fat soluble, you could probably just take one mm-hmm. big dose once a day, or you know, divide mm-hmm. your dose.
Take it earlier in the day. Some people get a little buzz.
I've seen that occasionally.
It's a little ubiquinol energy.
Yeah. Same thing with nicotinamide riboside or niacel. It's not good for some people to take too late. Mm-hmm. They feel restless or they have vivid dreams if they take it.
All right, Marianne. Thank you. All right. We've got an email from Larry. Dr. H and Layla, can you please discuss leptin levels and resistance as it relates to calorie intake? What is the best way to keep the body in a fat-burning state? And are leptin levels in any way related to insulin levels? Yes. Yes, absolutely. There is such a thing as leptin resistance. Right. It often goes hand in hand with insulin resistance as well. Leptin is secreted by the fat cells. There's a little bit of a catch-22 with leptin, because if you're devoid of all body fat, you're not secreting any leptin anymore. And leptin is the hormone that says, you've had enough. Stop.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Put the fork down.
Right.
But the lower we go, the hungrier we may get. That may be from a lack of mm-hmm. leptin and more ghrelin, which is more antagonistic, the growl, the hunger growl hormone.
Okay.
So leptin levels, I find, most closely associated with insulin levels in terms of the insulin resistance or the leptin resistance. When we have insulin resistance, there's too much insulin. It's not, the receptors are already full. It's the same with leptin resistance.
Well,
fat cells are secreting all this leptin, but the message is not being gotten by the brain to stop eating.
Right.
We've had
enough.
This
is the complexity of it. And this is why, one of the reasons why it's thwarted mm-hmm. obesity researchers to come up with an effective obesity drug, because it would seem that leptin is a candidate for the ideal anti-obesity drug. Because when you are, it's something that helps. If you have leptin deficiency, you have the tendency to eat more and gain weight. I think I've got that straight. It would stand to reason that if you just could inject people with leptin or give them leptin in some form of a pill that's absorbable, that would make them lose weight. It would make them
It didn't work out.
It didn't work out because of the phenomenon of leptin resistance, which is like, it paradoxically, fat people have a lot of leptin, but it's not working.
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Right.
So that's the problem.
Yeah.
And so we need to overcome leptin resistance. Now, so what, do we have an answer for this person?
Well, you want to go on a lower carb diet because as your insulin also decreases, your leptin will also, you will tend to normalize your biochemistries, including these hunger and satiety hormones like leptin as well.
Now, there are some supplements that have been named leptin support or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a lot of evidence that there is a vitamin or mineral or a phytonutrient that helps with that. Do you know of any?
No. I think when we tackle the insulin resistance, which is a primary component, really, that we take care of that. We take care of that primarily with diet and things like CM4. Berberine, chromium, diaxanol.
Right. So in other words, to attack the leptin,
you don't just go for the leptin. You take care of the entire.
You try to outflank the leptin by going to the insulin resistance, which is a feature of that. Yeah.
Exactly.
And then you break the cycle. And of course, it's a vicious cycle because if you lose weight, you'll lose leptin resistance, right?
Exactly. You will lose leptin. You won't be leptin resistant anymore.
Okay.
The leptin will do its job.
Okay.
And there's no such thing as a body fat of zero. We wouldn't be alive. Our hormones wouldn't, we wouldn't function properly.
Yeah. Fat is an important organ. Fat is an important organ.
Absolutely.
And although we want to shrink it, we don't want to
be completely devoid of it.
Right.
Which is, So, Larry, taking care of your diet and addressing any insulin resistance will take care of the leptin resistance.
So, I'll tell you, anecdotally in the remaining couple of minutes we have, is that I think, from my experience, a remarkable thing happened to my body when, about a year ago, I started the Whole30 diet, which is a paleo diet.
It's a year ago. You started Christmas.
December 24th of 2016.
Yeah.
And so, it's been a year, and I've lost, I wasn't trying to lose weight, but I wanted to just feel better.
It just kind of happened.
Yeah, it happened naturally, and I'm still eating a ton.
Mm-hmm.
And I got off grains, and I got off legumes, and I got off dairy, and I got off alcohol, and I got off sugar. And the body changes, and my appetite is under much better control. I can go much longer without eating. The way that I get hungry is I'm fine, and then all of a sudden it's like, I'm hungry. I gotta eat.
Wow, it's like bang
right now. I also don't have that urge to pile on the dessert, at the end of a meal, which is, you don't need it, but, you're looking for it.
You've eliminated a lot of the foods that cause false hunger and craving. Craving and false hunger, to me, are the same thing.
Yeah.
They're synonymous. So when you remove so many of those high-carb foods, your sugars, your grains, all of those, and dairy is problematic, too, because it's a bit of an insulin trigger.
Yeah.
So alcohol, definitely, because it's a hypoglycemic and causes us to eat more than we normally would.
Right.
So by removing a lot of those foods, you're also taking care of any inflammation in the body.
Because
these are also inflammatory foods.
So I feel more equanimity to food now, in a better relationship to food. And also I'm eating some, it's an adventure because when you preclude a whole lot of really easy, fast foods, like, for example, I just delighted in a soup that I made out of chicken stock, some carrots, some potatoes, some parsnips, and some turnips. Now, these are ordinarily foods that I don't think I'd eaten very much of in my life, but, the potatoes and the carrots, but parsnips and turnips, they just have such a delicate sweetness. That is not appreciated if you're eating candy all the time. Mm-hmm. You say like, ugh, this is bland. But
and turnips aren't very high in carbs either, which is pretty nice. They most resemble, I think, the flavor of a sweet potato. There's a nice natural sweetness to turnips.
But it's a cabbage family thing, so it has the benefits of cruciferous vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you, the other thing about it is that it was so tasty. I had a one-year-old visiting me during the holidays. And I said, can I give him some of this soup? And they said, and he went to town on it.
Mm.
You could see his eyes were lit up. And This is a kid who's been fed very well. He's never had candy. He's never had sugary food. But the natural sweetness and the texture of it was something that he really appreciated.
Right. And it's all whole, unprocessed food. Every bite is nourishing. This is so important.
Yeah.
Because when we nourish ourselves, we're no longer craving either. When we're eating empty calories, we're not getting nutrition there. So our body is still also craving nutrition.
Yep.
Which we're not getting. So
eat as if every bite counts.
It's absolutely.
Like, absolutely. Treat your body like a temple, not like an amusement park.
Right.
Okay.
And especially now that the holidays are over, everybody get back on program.
This is the time of great rectitude.
Yeah.
Yes, the correction is about to begin
right.
as people recover from the holiday blahs. So
yeah.
It's all right. So this, I guess we're going to minister to a lot of people during the next few weeks,
yeah.
and we're happy to do that. Send us your email to radioprogram@AOL.com. Remember that a lot of the supplements we talk about, you can find them at drhoffman.com. Help yourself and help us continue this podcast by patronizing the Hoffman Center store. And keep listening to Intelligent Medicine podcasts and our weekly radio program. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and subscribe to the newsletter.
Yes, thank you for joining us.
There's a lot of ways that you can become a more informed listener to Intelligent Medicine. Try it out in 2017. Happy New Year, everyone.
Happy New Year.
This is Layla Mutin, RD. I see patients every day here at the Hoffman Center. If you require a nutrition consult with me, but live out of town, there's no need to travel to New York City. I have telephone consultations with clients from all over the country. Please visit drhoffman.com for more information. And to set up an appointment, call 212-779-1744. That's 212-779-1744. I look forward to being a collaborator in your healthcare.